Hi, I'm Dan Barber from Blue Hill and Blue Hill at Stone Barns. You are listening to Food Fridays on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Throwing the perfect dinner party can sometimes be a hair-raising experience. There's the matter of which guests will mix well with others and all of the other preparations, but most important is what food to serve. Thankfully, Mark Bittman is here to help us navigate the many culinary complications that can arise for your next dinner party. He's an op-ed columnist about food for the New York Times, the author of How to Cook Everything, most recently what's called VB6, Eat Vegan Before 6 to Lose Weight and Restore Your Health for Good. It's published by Clarkson Potter, and I'm very pleased to welcome Mark Bittman back to our show today. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Nice to be here, as always.
For those of us who are not professional cooks, can't throwing a dinner party be a bit terrifying?
Well, I've written about this over the years, and the funny thing is that I still get nervous. And in fact, and this is true, last night, at 6:30, I said, call everyone and tell them to come at 7:30, not 7, I'm not ready. Or maybe it was the night before. There's just always going to be some level of you're performing and people are going to judge you and you're going to be nervous about that. But in my experience, everybody is always happy with any attempt you make to feed them. That's really the bottom line.
Well, I'd imagine in your case that you know some people who are food professionals. Doesn't that intimidate you a bit when they come to dinner?
I know, in my case, I think sadly or happily or whatever, it's almost the other way around. People are intimidated when I'm coming to dinner. But I don't get intimidated. I just get nervous. You know, I just want everything to be good. We all do.
Well, I'm going to throw out this suggestion to our listeners. If you are throwing a dinner party tonight or real soon, you can give us a call. Our number is 212-433-9692. You can also write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or on Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate.
Well, it would seem to me that one of the most important aspects of throwing a successful dinner party is the planning stage.
No? The shopping stage, I would say, is the most. I guess they're the same thing. But, I mean, if you buy decent stuff and you have a simple enough plan for it, then you can't go wrong.
For you, what's the ideal number of people to invite to a dinner party?
Two?
Yeah, that's
you said ideal. That's it. I mean, I like foursomes. I do. I mean, and I'll invite four people and have six. And I did that one night this weekend. It was really quite fun. But mostly I invite.
Well, they do tend to spiral. I invited some people over to dinner, and I thought it would be nice to have some other people just to join us. But I thought she's a chef. She's not going to make it. The restaurant is busy. So we invited a third couple, and now they're all coming. It's going to be eight people.
I mean, I think, you know, it's exponential, the amount of work you have to do. It's not. I don't believe this thing about adding two more people doesn't make much more work for you. It actually does.
Well, it also determines what you're going to cook. You're obviously not going to cook something that's very expensive, that involves very expensive ingredients, or that requires a lot of additional attention.
Well, more than that, or money aside, because sometimes it's an issue and sometimes it isn't, the size of a pan is really important. So you can put four pieces of fish in a pan that you might not be able to put six in.
Sometimes people want to show off. Is it better to make dishes that are simpler and that you can prepare before, or do you like to do something that's a little flashy?
I never do anything flashy. Honestly, I never do anything flashy. What I made last night was pasta with tomatoes and anchovies and shrimp, and then I followed it with fish cooked in butter with capers and a salad with a lot of herbs in it. That was it. I mean, if that's flashy, then it doesn't get much simpler with that than that.
So your rule is if it's going to be tasty, that's the most important thing?
I do. As I said at the beginning, I do think that I've never had an experience where people were not grateful for me cooking for them. And it's not because it's me. I think that's how we feel. We like the fact that someone's willing to make an effort and invite us to their houses and put something good on the table.
Have you ever had any disasters?
I've had some disappointments, but I
overcooked the thing. Or
I did burn something a couple of weeks ago because there were these fireworks in Central Park, and I couldn't figure. I don't see Central Park, but I hear it, so I couldn't figure out what was going on, and I burned something. So I did just start all over again. It wasn't a tragedy.
Well, I have a producer who has told me about having a lot of people over, and then he burned himself really bad and was spending the rest of the evening with this ice bag over his hand.
Accidents happen. Yeah, I burn myself badly once in a while, but, you know, accidents happen. Cooking, you know, needs to be taken seriously. There are dangerous things in the kitchen.
Now, how do you approach developing a menu? Is freshness the key?
To me, it is. As I said, I think the most important thing is you go to the store, you see what looks good, you buy it, and you go home and cook it. I mean, that's pretty simple. And you know, we're starting to see better things coming into the markets now, so that's great.
On the other hand, some people say that you should try to cook something that you can prepare far enough in advance so that you don't really have to spend any time at the stove when the guests arrive.
Always nice, and certainly an option.
So how many dishes do you think you should plan on making? Salad and an entree, appetizers? Should you have charcuterie set out for when people arrive?
I do, but sometimes I do peanuts. I mean, it's just sort of whatever's around. Bread and cheese, peanuts, salami. I usually do some kind of starter, and more often than not, it's pasta, and then a simple piece of meat or fish and a salad, and that usually does it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes dessert, sometimes not.
Well, people will often offer to bring something. When they say, can I bring dessert? Do you say, sure? Or do you say, no, I'm doing something myself?
And that's a tough one because I often say, I don't really care whether we eat it or not. So if you want to eat it, bring it. But if people want to bring something, I usually say bring flowers because I like mm-hmm. that. That's really nice.
And wine?
Wine I provide.
Mm-hmm. That is something I'm going to talk about later with Philip Galanis, but some people bring wine and then they want you to serve it, even though it doesn't necessarily go with the thing that you're planning.
I don't have no idea what the etiquette is in that department. I mean, people bring wine and I put it somewhere and then I don't know what to do with it, but I really don't know what the, shall we say, proper thing is to do in that instance.
And do you make the adjustments? There are always some people who prefer beer to wine.
I try to have beer in the house, but
some people usually fail.
I don't have soda in the house. Yeah, I will not have soda in the house.
I have a friend who is on the wagon, and the only time I've ever bought a Coca-Cola.
Well, see, now if someone has a specific need, like Coca-Cola, they should probably bring their own Coca-Cola. You can't expect someone to have Coca-Cola in their house.
My guest is Mark Bittman, whose latest book is VB6, Eat Vegan Before 6 to Lose Weight and Restore Your Health for Good. It's The Flexible Diet, and it's published by Clarkson Potter. We invite your calls at 212-433-9692. And let's take a call. This one is from Marietta from Jackson Heights. Hi, Marietta.
Hi. I'm wondering when you would recommend preparing foods completely in advance, or when it's a good idea to be preparing foods as a part, like the social aspect of your dinner party.
I guess that sort of depends on what your kitchen looks like. And if you like hanging out in your kitchen with people while you're cooking, then by all means, finish cooking while they're there. But, I mean, you can really do 80 or 90% of the work for a lot of meals in advance. And if that makes you more comfortable, then do it that way. Myself, I'm always doing everything at the last minute. I mean, except occasionally on Sundays.
So you don't do the roast or the other slow cooking types of meats like short ribs that don't require a lot of attention when the guests arrive?
I mean, once in a while, but it's rare that I get home before 6, so it's hard to do something that takes a long time to cook if you want people coming over at 7 or 7:30.
So you want to do something reasonably fast, like a paella?
I do everything a la, I do almost everything a la minute, and paella works, yeah.
Does that help at all, Marietta?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think for me, I'm a little bit more need to focus when I'm doing my cooking. So I always wonder if guests prefer to, you know, just have everything prepared. They like to see you in the kitchen kind of doing the work. And I guess maybe it's just a personal preference.
I would say. I think all guests are different. I don't know what they want. People do seem to like to hang out in the kitchen while you're cooking. My kitchen, sadly, is about 40 square feet. So there's only room for one person besides me.
Is it possible to throw a dinner party with something for everyone, all of the various dietary needs? For example, somebody is a vegan, somebody's gluten-free. Should I try to make a meal that adjusts to them, or do they have to adjust to us?
I have friends who say, make whatever you want. I'll pick around the stuff I can't eat. But I would just as soon – I mean, it's an interesting challenge. And if someone says – I mean, your example's perfect. If someone says, I don't eat gluten, and then another person says, I don't eat meat – I mean, it's easy enough to figure out a meal that's gluten-free and meat-free. It's not that big a deal.
Well, your book is Eat Vegan Before 6. So what do you do if you have friends coming over for brunch?
Then it's vegan.
Do they have to all eat vegan as well?
Yeah, then it's vegan. But, I'm not a big brunch guy, so that's not an issue.
You write that, I'm quoting, virtually every product we put in our mouths is sold by one of only 10 multinational companies, and the financial and political power of big food is impossible to overstate. How much thought should we put into that aspect, the political and environmental concerns, if we're having friends over for dinner?
Well, that's a bigger question, and I think that whatever your principles are, they should carry over to when you're cooking for other people, too. But I think By increasing the proportion of fruits and vegetables in our diet, we not only help ourselves, but we make a statement about what kind of food we think ought to be produced.
And then we probably will wind up with some dinner conversation about it.
Well, it can or cannot happen. I mean, if you're doing a vegan dinner, people are going to notice. But it's not such a big deal after all. And these things, it's not as if spaghetti with tomato sauce, salad, and bread is a novel idea, and that's a vegan dinner. So,
JC, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. I wanted to talk about test driving dishes. Recently, I had a Seder, and I was, perusing recipes online, and I thought maybe this year I'll try a new matzo ball recipe, and it was a disaster, and this was when my mother was saying, wait till you taste your matzo balls, which I had a perfectly wonderful recipe that I always used. But I thought, this year I'll just try something different while I was reading everyone raving about this other guy's matzo balls. Have you ever, Mark, tried something new without test driving it and served guests?
Actually, I try something new every time someone comes over because I'm at this stage almost incapable of cooking something the same way twice. But
you do understand the concern, and a lot of people feel
it's a great question,
that you have to have – you should have tried it at least once before.
I don't know why you would substitute a matzo ball recipe if you already have what you consider a great matzo ball recipe. I don't know why you'd mess with it. But
what attracted you to the other matzo ball recipe?
I was seduced by a chef's supposedly famous matzo balls that he serves in his restaurant, and they were like lead, and I'll never...
Well, there are those people who prefer the heavy, the cannonball matzo balls to the light, fluffy ones. So that, to some degree, that's a matter of taste, isn't it?
I'm with her.
You like the fluffies.
No, I just think...
My mother used to make the
bad,
kind that you had
bad.
To chase around the soup plate. That was part of the fun for us. Well,
I follow you on Twitter, and I think you're wonderful.
Thank you.
And next year, you'll go back to the original matzo ball recipe, right?
Yes, I will.
Thank you for calling. So how do you throw a successful party without destroying your kitchen? I've been to parties where the hosts have used every single pot and pan at their disposal.
I think the key is to keep things simple. And I don't think that a dinner party needs to be a gala affair unless you want it to be. So there are times you're going to want to use every pot in the kitchen. But I think when you have friends come over, you want to have a good time. And you, as the cook, owe it to yourself and also to everybody else to not spend the whole night in the kitchen and not be miserable when, the Jews all have famous stories about their grandmothers or their aunts or whatever who would never sit down at meals. I mean, Italians, too, who would never sit down at meals and would stand there screaming at everybody. I don't think that's fun.
Well, also, you don't want to be stressed out when you have guests coming over.
The key, again, is to keep it simple.
Should we take some more calls? This next is Connie from Livingston. I don't know where. Who is it? Oh, Irvington. Okay. Connie, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Yeah, it's Irving's in New York, in Westchester.
Oh, okay. I've heard of it.
Yeah, good.
Go ahead.
Well, the idea of nostalgia and family memories, I happen to have my cousin from Pennsylvania coming late this afternoon, and I'm no big cook, but I found that if I can make something that we both remember from visiting our grandmother, it's a really big hit because it's kind of, and so the one thing that is simple that's in my oven right now is baked custard.
Sounds fabulous.
It's pretty easy, and we used to walk into her house, open the refrigerator, and hope that there was one of these Pyrex dishes of nutmeg on the top that we would grab out. And, you know, the fact that it's pretty easy to make, I'm willing to do that. I'm not making the lima beans and roast beef kind of thing she made, but I think the custard will be a hit.
I think the memories are very powerful, and to the extent you can play on that, it's really wonderful.
Now, why do you think lima beans are no longer as popular as they were?
Were they popular?
Well, at least with her family.
I don't know. They take a long time to cook, and you never see them fresh.
Are there certain things that you are ready to make if guests just drop in at the last minute? Somebody says, oh, I was in the neighborhood.
Doesn't happen, but I'm a firm believer in the full stocked pantry, and if you have one, then you can do something at any moment. I mean, you always should have grains, whole grains, pasta, etc. You should always have canned tomatoes. You should always have stuff in the fridge. So, I mean, if you're a cook, you do.
What do you do when a guest who's trying to be helpful clears the table and may even start washing some of the dishes?
I let them.
You do?
What do you do?
I say no, I'll take care of it later.
My wife says no, I'll take care of it later, but I let them do it. I grew up, let's say, in my 20s, we all did everything. So people would come over, we'd all cook, and then we'd all clean up. That is not any longer in vogue because I suppose we're grown-ups now. But if people want to help clean up, I'm fine with that.
We go now to Tara from Long Island. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? I'm calling about cooking for guests who are bringing children. So do you ever modify what you're cooking if you know kids are coming or if they show up by surprise?
This is, I'm really showing my age now. It doesn't happen to me anymore. I get the what should I do about kids question all the time. And I say, I think you should feed them food. If a kid's not going to eat, I mean, you know, my experience with my kids was if they were hungry enough, they'd eat pretty much anything. And that is my attitude. But other people's kids, you kind of have to make some adjustments because they're going to treat them the way they want to treat them. But honestly, I haven't had this experience in years, so I'm not sure what I'd do.
Well, you're faced with two choices. You just simply say, it tastes really good, try it.
But to someone else's
kids. Or you
kids,
go running off and you try to find some cereal or something that the kids like. That can be a real pain.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the experience, but my first inclination would be to say, here's what we're eating. Have some.
Michelle on Twitter asks, along the lines of non-corporate, is your pantry GMO-free?
Largely, but you're not in control of that entirely. So the answer is more or less yes.
Because we don't always know. In fact, from what I gather, in many cases you can think you're perfectly GMO-free, but 10 steps down the line, there was some GMO thing, the soy that went into the feed, that went into the thing, that went in whatever.
Well, it's same as organic. I mean, something labeled organic doesn't mean that it's pure. It means that there was an attempt made, or presumably there was an attempt made to make it in accord with organic standards.
Let's take another call. This is from Greg. Hi, Greg. You're on the air.
Okay, I was just improvising while listening to the show, and a very easy salad dressing I have never thought of before. I had some fresh squeezed vegetable juice from one of these corner markets that whips it up for you in just 5 minutes, and it was from yesterday. Didn't know what to do with it, so I'm making this a baby romaine mix, and here's what the ingredients are. This super green, let's say cucumber, kale, broccoli, ginger, celery, and spinach. And it just happens to be what they created yesterday when I bought the juice. I simply dumped it over the lettuce, added a touch of vinegar, super easy salad dressing. Just found out.
This super green thing is happening more and more. You see so many things labeled super green, and what is it? It's a bunch of greens blended together. Super.
Now, I don't have the juicer here in the kitchen. That's a big, messy affair. I'm talking about if you're lucky enough to live within a block or two of something that actually will do this juicing for you. It functions amazingly nicely in that way as a dressing.
Sounds great.
Thank you for calling. And we go now to Joan. Joan from Westchester. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I just want to say thank you to Mark Bittman for all those wonderful recipes in the Times. And I have your How to Cook Everything cookbook.
By the way, we have a few of his recipes on our website.
Oh, that's great.
Breakfast pilaf, chickpea ratatouille, and eggplant en
parmesan. I won't use them all. But I still get stressed when I'm going to have a dinner party. I like to entertain like 4 to 6 people. But the last minute, I just feel panicky. Somebody said, well, you should take a tranquilizer, but I think that would slow me down.
What about if you're cooking with wine, take a little sip from the wine?
Well, that definitely would slow me down, too.
Myself, I feel like the drinking is the most fun part of cooking. So
yeah.
But it sounds like you have it under control.
I like to prepare things in advance so that I can just pop them in the oven or broiler when I'm ready. And I always feel that so many people just cook in front of other people, but I find that very, again, stressful.
Right. Well, if you're comfortable with what you're doing, then keep doing it.
Keep doing it. Okay, well, thank you for everything. You're really my favorite.
Thanks very much for that.
We have a call from Mark to Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Go ahead.
I'll just go straight with my question. Mark, how do you finish a meal normally? I know that I usually just serve fruit by the time the meal is finished, and I find that's just perfect. So I don't do any big thing, preparing any kind of extravagant dessert. What do you do?
I do mostly that. Sometimes ice cream, which obviously is the easiest thing in the world, and sometimes we gussy that up with little spice mix.
Do you make your own
like
ice
that.
Cream?
Not anymore. I mean, once a year just to keep my hand in, but no. I mean, in the city, I don't have room for an ice cream machine, so it's not going to happen.
Well, if you have a KitchenAid, you probably can put an ice cream attachment to it.
I don't have room for a KitchenAid.
Okay. we've pretty much run out of time. A reminder that we do have some recipes of yours from this new cookbook, VB6, Eat Vegan Before 6. We have breakfast pilaf, chickpea ratatouille, your eggplant en parmesan.
Which is awesome.
Because you can't, parmesan is not vegan. A listener does ask on Twitter, how do I prepare fresh chickpeas?
You have to peel them first, and then you treat them like fresh peas.
Do you think, ending this thing up, do you think that many hosts often forget the important part of the party is just having a good time?
I think that's what I've been stressing, is that if you keep it simple and you keep yourself relaxed, that's the important thing.
VB6, Eat Vegan Before 6, to lose weight and restore your health for good, is Mark Bittman's latest book. It's from Clarkson Potter. Have you been 100% faithful to the diet?
No, not even close.
I was just checking.
I don't lie, Lenny.
Thanks for coming by again.
Always great.